Okay, good evening, everybody. Lichtig Chanukah. Welcome back to our learning at Share on the third night of the Chanukah Licht. I hope that everyone's enjoying a meaningful, uplifting, spiritually rewarding, and fulfilling Yom Tov of Chanukah thus far. Welcome back to our learning at Share. We are learning, as always, the Zecher Nishmasa Miriam Frond, Miriam Bas Chaim Yitzhak, Alaha Shalom, and the Shama Merida continuous Aliyah Neschus of our Divrei Torah. We continue to thank the Frum family very much for their commitment to this Shir, Lezecher Nishmas, their mother, Alaha Shalom. So I just want to apologize about the calendar changes. I know we've been learning here, I think, 7 years, can I know, 8 years. You know, to the best of my ability, I tried to keep the Kavias of the set schedule, and there's just been a number of unavoidable conflicts over the past month. So instead of totally canceling the Shir, I'm moving it to Tuesday night instead of canceling it outright. So if you could join Tuesday night, that's wonderful. If not, you could always listen to the recording on Wednesday night as usual. I'd rather do that than just cancel entirely, Chas v'Shalom. So I apologize. They've truly been unavoidable. You know, over the past 7 or 8 years, I really don't cancel, change, or miss Shir. So if I've had to do it, it means I've had a number of conflicts in a row that I could not avoid. I apologize. I hope and plan, Bezrat Hashem, that next week, please God, it's back to Wednesday night in person and on Zoom. I thank you for your patience and your understanding. So it is Hanukkah. It's okay, Malki Sultan is saying. I really do feel bad, but it's just the way it's just been working out. So I decided that we are going to be talking about Hanukkah. Last week we did an extremely, extremely powerful piece of the Beis Halevi. It is on Yud Torah. If you missed it, Miyad Achi, Miyad Esav, connected to the Yom Tov of Hanukkah. Given that I still have one from Alar Menorahs when Licht is still burning over here. So given that is the Yom Tov of Hanukkah, and all of Yomim Tovim are really a lesson in Amunah, Hanukkah especially, because it really seemed like with the rampant Hellenism in the land and the Syrian Greek culture, would Knesset Yisrael disappear? And that's what all the defiled oils represented. The Rachman son defiled neshamos of the Yidden who had Hellenized. And there was just one little pach shemen. And we have to maintain our emunah and really never give up the Yeshua Hashem keheref ayin. So I want to talk about Hanukkah. I'm going to screen share with you. I have it prepared right here. Okay, Malki Sultan, you're right now the only person I could see. Could you see that it says Bereishis Chavches? Yes? Okay, fine. Okay, so Bereishis Chavches is actually Parshas Vayitzi. We're going back to Parshas Vayitzi because I want to talk about something specific, okay? Vayitzi Yaakov mi Beersheba, Vayile Charana. Yaakov departed from Beersheba. He went to Haran and he encountered the place and he slept there because the sun had set. He took from the stones of the place and he put it under his head and he lay down in that place. So Chazal Darshan that here he slept, but for 14 years in Shem Be'er he didn't sleep. So like father, like son, Yosef takes after his father. Yosef's life really revolves around dreams. Yaakov Avinu has a dream. Vihine sulam mutzav arza. Behold, a ladder is standing on the ground. Verosha magia hashamayim. The head, the top of the ladder, is reaching to heaven. Vihine malach elokim olim v'yardim bo. And behold, angels of God are ascending and descending it. And behold, Hashem is standing upon him, and he says, I am Hashem, the God of Avram, your father, the God of Yitzchak, the land upon which you are landing, are you laying to, and your seed I will give it, and your seed will be like the dust of the earth. It will burst forth to the west, to the east, to the north, to the south. All the families of the earth will be blessed through you and your seed. I will be with you. I will guard you. I will return you to this land. I won't leave you. Vayikatz Yaakov mishnatzo. And Yaakov wakes up his dream and he says, whoa, Hashem is in this place and I didn't know. And he was afraid. How awesome this place is. Not that in the house of God. This is the gateway to heaven. I want to talk about this very first pasuk here. Vayachalom, he dreamt. Vihine sulam mutzav arza. Behold, there was a ladder standing on the ground. Verosha magia hashamayim. The head is reaching to the heaven. Vihine malacha elokim olim v'yardimbo. And behold, the angels of God are descending, are ascending and descending it. Okay? So I want to quote, my son told us this back by Parshas Vayitzi. He davens when he's home from yeshiva. He davens by a yeshiva gadol of the five towns. Rabbi Moshe Katzenstein is the Rav and the Rosh Yeshiva. So Rabbi Katzenstein in his Shabbos drasha told over the following idea. He quoted a medrash, Rabbi Katzenstein. What was Yaakov seeing? So there's many midrashim into what Yaakov was seeing in that dream. But one midrash teaches that Yaakov was seeing the angel of each galus ascending the ladder. Malachi Elohim. We know that the Malachim have all different tafkidim, right? The Malach that Yaakov met on the river Yabuk on Paraglam and Bez is the Malach of the Sar Shal Esav. And there is the Malach Hamavah. So there's Malachim who do all sorts of jobs. So he saw the Malachim of exile. Each exile had its own Malach, ascending Olim, and then V'yardim, descending. But Galus Edom went up. That's the Galus that we're in. Galus Edom, Galus Romi. Galus Edom went up, and it didn't come down. Each Galus is a different enemy, Rabbi Katzenstein explained. What was Galus Bavel, the first Galus? Galus Bavel was the first national Galus of the Arba Galus. Really, the Egyptian exile was the first Galus. Yaakov and the family descend. But when we talk about the Arba Galios, the first is Galus Bavel. The Babylonians, of course, destroyed the first Beis HaMikdash in 586 before the Common Era. So you have to go back like more than 2,500 years ago. What was Galus Bavel? Galus Bavel, said Rabbi Katzenstein, was the Galus HaNeshama, the Galus of the soul, the exile of the soul. What does that mean? They destroyed the Beis HaMikdash, and the Beis HaMikdash was the Neshama of Klal Yisrael. The Beis HaMikdash was where the Shechina dwelt. Vasuli Mikdash v'shachanti b'socham. The Shechina, Shachain, the divine presence became our neighbor, so to speak. Or Salvechik says in one of his pieces, what does it mean? A person should think to themselves, God lives at 12 Har Habayis, I live at 13 Har Habayis, and we are in very good terms. Shechina, Mishkan, Shachain, it's all the same root word. The divine presence, the holy abode, your neighbor. When Hashem comes to dwell amongst us, it should feel so close to us. We should feel that I have a 12 Arabais, Hashem dwells at 13 Arabais, and we are on very good terms. So Galus Bavel is Galus HaNeshama, the exile of the soul. They destroyed the Beis HaMikdash, which is the Neshama of Klal Yisrael. Then the next Galus is Galus Paros Umadai, which was the Galus of Haman and Achashverosh, then Mordechai Esther and the Jews of the time. And that is Galus HaGuf. Why was it Galus HaGuf? Guf means the body. Why was it the exile of the body? Because what did they want to do? They wanted to destroy not only Neshama, they wanted to kill each and every Jew. Lahashmi 3:13, Megillas Esther, Lahashmi, La Rogel Abed, Es Kol HaYehudim. Kol HaYehudim. Menar V'adzakin Taf V'Nashim B'yam Echad. So Galus Paros Umadai represents Galus HaGuf, the exile where they were against our body, our physical selves, because Haman and Achashverosh plotted to kill out every Jew. Then we come to Galus Yavan. Now, Galus Yavan is about in the time period of the Second Temple, and the miracle of Hanukkah is about 200 years before the destruction of Bayis Sheni, before Churban Bayis Sheni. So what is Galus Yavan? If Galus Bavel is Galus HaNeshama, and Galus Paros Umadai is Galus HaGuf, what is Galus Yavan? So Rabbi Katz has seen Galus HaSeichel. Intelligence, the mind, rationality, reason. They wanted to confuse us, and through confusing us from bewildering our minds, they wanted to detach us from Torah. And that's exactly what they did. They said, no Torah, no Bris Milah, no Shabbos, no Rosh Chodesh, Malki Sultan added last week, no Taras HaMashpacha, no Nida. By cutting us off, or attempting to cut us off entirely from the mitzvos, they wanted to befuddle and confuse our mind, Galus HaSeichel, although we should think that the Greek culture is a much better way to live, a much more attractive, easier, appealing way to live. Confuse our Seichel, our mind, our rationality, our reason, that was Galus HaSeichel. By confusing our minds, they wanted to detach us from Torah. And the Maisa, many Jews became Hellenists. They did become confused, and they did go over to the other side. What about Galus Edom, which Yaakov saw going up and not coming down? Galus Edom, said Rabbi Katzenstein, which is what we're in, which is so long and so dark, is a combination of all of these enemies. It's a package deal. It's Galus HaNeshama. They want to destroy our souls. It's Galus HaGuf, anti-Semitic attacks, the things that we've seen we're not even talking about now. We're talking about 2,000 years. Think Spanish Inquisition. Think the Crusades. So it's Galus HaNeshama, Galus HaGuf, the eradication of the Jewish soul is what they attempt, the slaying of the Jewish body and lives, and finally Galus HaSeichel. We are so confused in this door. Galus Edom is such a confusing Galus. And this is what Yaakov Avinu saw going up the ladder and not coming down. This confluence of these terrible forces of impurity that work against our soul, against our body, and against our mind, connected Galus Bavel, Paros Umadai, and finally Yavan. And it's so powerful that Yaakov saw going up and he did not see it coming down. So how can we persevere? We have to renew our commitment to Torah if we want to overcome all these three factors. The first three Golios is mainly each one individual. This final Golios is a whole confluence. It's a whole dance, if you will, of the enemy coming against us with all different tactics. And what is necessary is to rekindle the Torah within our soul. And when we can rekindle the Torah within our soul, we will be successful in not only overcoming Edom, but finally, Be'ezer Hashem, they should finally come down that ladder. And of course, this is what the Chanukah Licht represents. That small little flame represents the clarity of the mind. On the one hand, Galus Asecha. It represents the survival of the Neshama, Ner Hashem Nishmas Adam. And it also represents the triumph of the Guf, because Hanukkah was not only about a spiritual miracle, there was also a war that was fought. The Gemara tells us, and we see it in Al-Nisim, the Gemara says, "Ukeshichnosu yivanim v'heichal timu kol ha-shmanim, ukeshagavru malchus beis chashmonoi v'nitzchum." Sh'abes chaf al beis. There was a physical battle. Alam milchamos. There was a physical battle. So Hanukkah represents, the Hanukkah licht represents the triumph over the Galus HaGuf when they wanted to kill us, over Galus HaNeshama when they ran in to eradicate our soul, because the candle represents the Jewish soul. And finally, it represents the triumph of Seichel over Galus HaSeichel, because we renew our commitment to Torah, to Shabbos, to Mila, to Rosh Chodesh, to Taras HaMishpacha, we overcome. I thought it was very, very beautiful. Our Torah from Rabbi Katzenstein. My son told it over from Parshas Vayetze, and I didn't know exactly which class I was going to tell it in, but I think that it's very powerful and very beautiful. I now want to quote from none other than, fill in the blank, where am I quoting from? Mishpacha. Okay? Back from 11th Tishrei. Okay? Erev Sukkos. 11th Tishrei, and I also saved this. It's been sitting on my desk. And if you could see, it's circled on the top. And what does it say? If you could see, it's backwards. It says Chanukah in a circle. Okay? It's really about Shemini Atzeres. Shemini being eight. But she talks about Mrs. Shani Mendelowitz. Shani Mendelowitz. She's a Menahelis of Beis Yaakov Seminary of Montreal. And a popular lecturer for women. Mrs. Shani Mendelowitz. So she teaches something about the difference between seven and eight. And of course, Chanukah Licht is for eight nights, not seven nights. They found only one Pach Shemen. There was enough to light for one night, but a miracle was done. That's the Gemara and Shabbos. A miracle was done, and there was enough, and it lasted for eight nights. So in this article, which is really about Shemini Atzeres, but it ties in exactly to the idea of Chanukah. Okay? In the Pasuk in Koheles, which is read on Sukkot, the Pasuk states in Koheles, give a portion to the seven as well as to the eight. Give a portion to the seven as well as to the eight. That's from Koheles, Perek Yud Aleph, Pasuk B. So what is the difference between seven and eight? Give a portion to the seven as well as to the eight. Tein chelek l'shiva, v'gam l'shmona. Ten chelek l'shiva, the Gam Lashmona, give a chedek, a portion to the seven and also to the eight. The Maharal gives insight into the special significance of these two numbers, seven and eight. Seven brings to mind right away the days of creation. Okay? That is the first time we see the unit of seven by Maisa Bereshis. So therefore, seven is associated with the natural world. It goes all the way back to creation because God created. He could have created in a unit of ten. He could have created in a unit of three. He could have created in a unit of eight. No, he created a unit of seven. That's Teva. Teva is represented in seven. It's also associated with the concept of completeness and wholesomeness. For example, there are seven seas, S-E-A-S, seven continents, seven rakia hashamayim, seven heavens, and seven colors of the rainbow. Many life cycles last for 7 days. First of all, the universal seven-day week, the 7 days of Sheva Brachas. By the way, we even see that back in Vayetze by Lavan. He says, Male Shavua Zo Shavua. The word Shavua is from the word Sheva. Lavan says to Yaakov, Male Shavua Zo. So when you finish this week of Mishta, you may Mishta for Leah, you could marry Rachel. The 7 days of Sheva Brachas and the 7 days, Rachman Otzon Nahavda, of mourning for a close relative, the Shiva Yimei Avos. When you say someone is sitting Shiva, actually went to be Menachem Aval, somebody today, Shiva. When you say sitting Shiva, Shiva is the word Sheva. You're actually saying they're sitting seven. So Sheva represents Teva. It also represents completion or wholesomeness. Seven seas, seven continents, seven heavens, seven colors of the rainbow. Many life cycle events last 7 days, such as the universal seven-day week, the concept of Sheva Brachas, and also 7 days of mourning for a close relative. Also, many Yomim Tovim are associated with seven. For example, De'oraisa, okay, we live in Chatzaretz, Mipnei Chata'inu, Galinu Me'artzeinu. So we celebrate on the eighth day for both Pesach and Sukkot when we are Chutzarts Jews, even when we're in Eretz Yisrael, ask your Rav. But most Ashkenazi, Lachabad, Chutzarts Jews in Eretz, so I'm not talking about if you own a place there, I'm not talking about if you go for all the Shalosh Shagalim, I'm not talking about if your rabbi told you something different. So we have an extra there. Remember, we went to Eretz Yisrael this past Pesach, so I asked the Shaila, so I was told, because Chutzarts Jews keep 8 days. I said, I just want to understand. I wasn't asking Chas V'Sham Lachas. Chas V'Sham. I said, I just want to understand. Either it's Yantav or it's not Yantav. So a Chutzarts Jew keeps 8 days wherever he is. Okay, a Ben Eretz Yisrael keeps 7 days. Okay. So Pesach and Sukkot each last for 7 days, and Shavuos culminates 7 weeks of Sfiras Omer. So you see that seven represents Teva and this concept of Shlemus. If seven represents a complete set, what can the number eight add to the picture? She quotes Rav Hutner, Zatzal, who notes that Sheva, this is very interesting, Esti Klein, I think you once, where is she? She was just here before. Esti Klein was here. No, maybe she wasn't here. No, she is Sheva Brachas. Oh my gosh, no pun intended. Whoa, she'll hear it on the recording. She once pointed this out to me. Sheva, notes Rav Hutner, is similar to the word soveya, satiation. V'achalta visavata uveirachta, you will eat and be satiated. Soveya, satiation, sin, beis, ayin, is obviously the exact same letters in Shorosh as Sheva, which means seven, shin, beis, ayin. So Sheva, seven, is related to the concept of soveya, satiation. Why? Because it's a complete or whole number, while Shmona, eight, is related to the word shemen, which means oil. Shmona is eight, shemen is oil, exact same Shorosh. While seven denotes fullness, soveya, satiation, eight represents an additional, even richer level. Just like shemen adds depth, body, fat, fullness, richness to the dish, so too eight adds that extra rich dimension to our lives. While seven is associated with the natural world that the Ribbono Shel Olam created, eight goes beyond the supernatural. I was thinking something very interesting. I'm taking a break for a minute from the article. It seems something very interesting. What the Yevanim wanted to destroy, two of the mitzvahs that they wanted to destroy are very number-bound. One famous mitzvah they wanted to destroy is Sheva. What am I saying? Shabbos. Shabbos is the seventh day of the week. Ayanach Bayom Hashvi, the Ribbono Shel Olam created for 6 days and rested on the seventh day. So they wanted to destroy the element of Sheva, but they also wanted to eradicate Bris Milah. And Bris Milah is an element of eight. Bayom Hashmini, Parshas Tezria, Yimol, Basar, Arlaso, on the eighth day. So remember, the Rabbi Katzenstein said that Galus Yavan, was Galus HaSeichel. They wanted to totally confuse us. So they wanted to confuse us by eradicating our connection to seeing God in the natural world, represented in destroying Shabbos. Shabbos represents seeing Hashem in Teva, testifying that there's a Borei Olam. Hashem created for 6 days and rested on the seventh, complete unit of time, Teva. So we create for 6 days and we cease and rest on the seventh day, testifying that there is a Borei Olam. Ki osi binu uveinecham. It is a sign between us and the Ribbono Shel Olam. The Greeks wanted to destroy our connection to the 7 days of the week. They didn't want us to be soveya, satiated by Avodah Shoshem and Kedusha. They also wanted, that wasn't enough for them. They also wanted to destroy our connection to the number eight, as signified by what? Bris Milah, because it is done on the eighth day. So they wanted to destroy our ability to find God in nature, seven, Shabbos. They also, of course, wanted to destroy our ability to exist lamala minateva, in a realm that is beyond nature, represented by their severance of, or attempted severance of, the mitzvah of Bris Milah. And even the mitzvah of Taharas HaMishpacha, Nida, Malki Sultan emailed me last week to say that her husband told her that the word Shemen stands for Shabbos, Milah, and Nida. Shemen is oil, what we light the Chanukah lecht with, the Shemen's Aizach. Shemen is an acronym for Shabbos, Milah, and Nida. And Nida also depends on seven. It depends on the Zayin Nikiyim, the seven clean days before she can go to the mikvah. So once again, you see Shemen, which represents Shabbos, a unit of seven. Mila, a unit of eight. And Nida, a Mida of seven. So it's truly a Galus HaSeichel. They wanted to totally confuse us and throw off our connection to everything natural and everything supernatural. So we should not find the Shem anywhere. We shouldn't find him in Teva. Remember, Rabbi Zavlov says Elokim in Gematria with a hey, not a kuf, equals HaTeva. Because our task is to find the Shem in Teva. It's not just seven. Find God in the natural world. Well, seven, and then the only thing I was thinking is, where does Rosh Chodesh fit in? So I don't have an answer. It's not seven or eight. Shabbos, Mila, Rosh Chodesh, Nida. So Shabbos is seven, Nida is seven, Mila is eight. What about Rosh Chodesh? I don't know. The only thing you could say is that the Yomim Tovim depend on Rosh Chodesh. And many of the Yomim Tovim are 7 days. I don't know. It's a far-fetched. If you have a better idea of how the Yomim Tovim fits into this thesis that I'm proposing, I'd be very interested in hearing it. But it's certainly true about Shabbos, Nida, and Mila, and the Greek desire to wipe out our ability to see God in nature and to exist in the Malamei Teva. Someone wrote something? Oh, very nice. Nida represents both 7 and 8, because you count Zion Nikiyim, and then the Tefillah is on the beginning of the 8th day. Very nice, Rachi Fried. Very good. Very, very nice. So Nida, you could say, is a bridge between Shabbos and Mila. Shabbos represents 7. Mila represents 8. Very nice. And Nida represents both, because you count the 7 clean days, and then you are Metaher on the beginning of the 8th day. Very nice. Except that still doesn't answer my question about Rosh Chodesh. Where does Rosh Chodesh fit into the picture? If anyone has an idea, I'd be very interested to hear. Okay, going back to this article, 7 is associated with the natural world that Hashem created. 8 goes beyond to the supernatural. 7 represents a full unit of time, yet it also serves as a prelude to an 8th component, which is really what Rachi just said about mikvah. 7 is a full unit of time, but it's also a prelude to 8, which heralds a newer and greater stage. Much as, is anyone musically inclined? I'm not. Much as the 8th note of a musical octave repeats the first, yet on a higher new scale. Anyone know that? Johnny, you don't know either. But Leo's iPhone is saying yes, she knows about that. Okay, just as the 8th note of a musical octave repeats the first, yet on a higher, newer scale. Thus, on the 8th day of existence, the newborn child begins a new week with a bris milah, which this is an article about Shmini Atzeres, but it relates so beautifully to Hanukkah. In the words of Rav Shamsher and Fal Hirsch, it's as if the baby, when it gets to bris milah on the 8th day, is reborn for the sake of a higher calling. I'll give you another example that she doesn't write here, but I just thought of it as I'm speaking. Shemitah and Yovel. Shemitah is a unit of 7 years. Yovel is a unit of 7 times 7 years, but year 1 is also year 8. Year 1, 7 years is the Shemitah cycle. Complete unit of time. Wholeness. Teva. It's related to the agricultural cycle. Teva. But then the 8th year is year 1 and a higher elevated level. So you see consistently from so many examples this relationship between 7 and 8, where 7 is Soveya, nature, and 8, Shmona, is Shemen, this richness, this fullness, this fatness, this elevated degree of existence. So on the 8th day, when the baby has a bris, says Rav Shamsher Fal Hirsch, it is reborn, as if it is reborn for the sake of a higher calling. On the 8th day of the preparatory Miluim days, Vayihi B'yam Hashmini, when did Nadav and Avihu die? It was the 8th day of the inauguration for the Mishkan, which was Rosh Chodesh Nisan. Then the Mishkan became fully operational. The Shechina descended to dwell amongst Klal Yisrael, which goes back to how we began. Vasuli Mikdash V'Shachanti B'Socham. When did the Shechina come down? On the 8th day, which was really the first day of Rosh Chodesh Nisan. It's amazing. And after 7 weeks of preparation, Sfiras Omer, at the very beginning of the 8th week, Klal Yisrael received the divine gift of Torah. So you see that Hanukkah is very much connected. I'm not reading the rest of the beginning of the article and the whole rest of the article. It's much longer about Shemini Atzeres and the Yomim Tovim in the fall. But I thought that this was very beautiful as it relates to this idea of Hanukkah. And you see that the Greeks wanted to sever our connection to both. So I thought of something tonight, but I don't know. And I had class from 7 to 8 in my first class, and I don't know the connection, but I want to show you something, so I'm putting out a couple of questions tonight. One is, what does Rosh Chodesh have to do with this idea of 7 and 8 in regard to Chanukah? Because you see that the other mitzvos do relate to both 7 and 8 that the Greeks wanted to eradicate. Okay, I thought of another connection. Parshas Miketz, which is this week's Parsha, Sedra, is almost always read by Hanukkah. The story of Yosef is always read by Hanukkah. Always. There's many, 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 many reasons, hidden and revealed reasons, why the story of Yosef is read by Hanukkah. But when I was teaching my first class tonight, I thought of something so interesting because of this whole idea of 7 and 8 floating around in my head. So how does the Sedra begin? Was at the end of 2 years exactly from when Yosef told the Saramashkim to remember him, and Paro dreamed, and behold, he's standing by the shore of the Nilus River. I forgot to ask you if you could see my screen. Thank you. Vihine min hayar, from the Nilus River, olos sheva. It's so interesting that Paro's dream occurs in a unit of 7. This is always read, almost always Shabbos Hanukkah. And the story of Yosef is always read Shabbos Hanukkah. So Yosef's redemption happens because of these dreams. I mean, it happens because God wants it to happen. But the vehicle that the Ribbono Shel Olam uses to free Yosef from jail is Paro's dreams. Everything is a tool in the hands of God. The tool in the hand of God and the divine plan to free Yosef from the pit of jail is Paro's dreams, which are always connected to Hanukkah, which is Parshas Miketz. And Paro's dreams revolve around not only cows and ears of grain, but around the number 7. V'hine min hayar olo shava paros, yifos maro vios basar v'ter'ena ba'achu. Coming up from the Nilus River come these 7 cows. They are of good appearance and healthy flesh, and they're grazing in the swamp. V'hine shava paros achiros. There are 7 other cows, olos acharein min hayar, coming up after them from the river. Ra'os mara, of bad appearance and of skinny flesh, and they stand next to the other cows on the shore of the Nilus River. And what happens? V'tochalna ha'paros ra'os hamara v'dakos ha'baso. The 7 cows of bad appearance and gaunt flesh consume as shavar ha'paros yifos hamara v'abrios. They consume the 7 cows of good appearance and healthy, and Paro wakes up. And he goes back to sleep, but he dreams a second dream. And someone in my first class pointed out the unusual specificity of the number in the dream. Usually when you have a dream, if things don't make any sense, so maybe you're dreaming of cows floating, coming out of the river, but there's a lot of specificity to the dream, which you don't usually have. And you have a regular dream. It could be crazy, it could not make sense, but it's not usually so specific. He sees 7 healthy cows, 7 sick cows, 7 sick cows swallowing the 7 healthy cows. And then the second dream, he sees the number 7 again. So this is clearly not coincidental. And I'm thinking that there has to be a connection to Hanukkah. We see on Hanukkah, they tried to eradicate Shabbos, which is 7. They wanted to destroy our ability to see God in nature, which is 7. Is it coincidental that Paro's dreams, which are always read on Shabbos Hanukkah, revolve around the number 7? Obviously not, because nothing is ein mikra ba'olam. So the 7 fat cows are consumed by the 7 skinny cows. Paro wakes up, and then he has a second dream, and he sees 7 ears of grain coming up on one stalk. They're healthy and good. And behold, 7 ears beaten, skinny and beaten by the eastern wind, are sprouting after them, and the skinny ears consume the sheva hashibolim, habrios from leos. The skinny ears consume the 7 full and healthy ears, and Paro wakes up, and it is a dream. And not only that, when he calls Yosef, so no one interprets the dream to his liking, from all the Chartumim, from all the Chachamim, he can't find anyone who tells him the dreams to his liking. The Saramashkim says, I remember my sin. There's a lad down there, a Hebrew, a servant. He interprets dreams. And when they rush Yosef out of prison, Paro tells over the whole dream. And not only that, he stresses the number 7. He gives over the dreams with such detail, including the 7 cows, the 7 sick cows, and he repeats it over and over. And then he talks about Sheva Shibolim. There's a flower company from Israel called Shibolim, and coming up on one stalk. And he repeats all about 7. And then Yosef says to Paro, he repeats the number 7. Sheva Paro Satovo, Sheva Shanim, Vesheva Shibolim Atovos, Sheva Shanim Chalam Echadu, Vesheva Paro Sarakos, Harakos, Vaharao, Sheva Shanim, Sheva Shibolim, Sheva Shnei Harav. Do you see what's going on here? It's not just me. This isn't an accident. 7, 7, 7, 7, 7. Hine, Sheva Shanim Ba'o Sova, Sova, look. Sheva, Sova. 7 years are coming of great satiation. And then Shavashnei Rav, you'll have the 7 years of famine. Vinishkach kol sova, all of the satiation will be forgotten in the land of Egypt. Sova will not even be known. They won't even remember the satiation because of the famine. So, and Paro should appoint someone wise and discerning. They should appoint someone over the land. They should amass food during the years of plenty to get through the years of famine. So it's not an accident. I just thought of it while I was teaching my first class. There has to be some significance. I'm asking a second kasha. The verse that has Rosh Chodesh fit into this idea of 7 and 8 and the Greek Antiochus Hellenistic outlook, because the other mitzvahs clearly fit into the pattern of 7 and 8. So Veya, Sheven, Shmona, Shemen, Chanukah is Shmonas Yamim, and Miketz, which is the parsha of Shabbos Chanukah, revolves also around the number 7. Very much, and that's tickets to Yosef's freedom. Those 7 cows, and 7 cows, and 7 ears, and 7 years, 7 ears, and then 7 years are the ticket to Yosef's freedom. So how does that connect to the Yom Tov of Chanukah? I'm asking you a question. This is a question. It's not an accident. You know that nothing in Torah is an accident. I'm not sure I understand that comment. Hashem to go to Eretz Goshen in the Torah, representing the 4 times of Galus. Please clarify, I'm missing something of what that's supposed to mean. How does Goshen represent the 4 Galios? Okay, so you see by Paro this idea of Sheva, Soveya, Shabbos, Nida, I don't know. Hashem should give us the answer, but it has to be something because it's not an accident. So if you have an answer, please let me know. You have to think. So putting together everything we've spoken about thus far, Malachi Elokim Olim V'Yardim Bo, Bavel is Galus HaNeshama, the exile, the destruction of the soul, destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. Paros Umadai is Galus HaGuf, they wanted to physically annihilate all the Jews. Yavon, Chanukah, Galus HaSeichel, they want to confuse us totally so we can't find Hashem in nature as we have proven, or Lamalam in a Teva existence, which didn't work, but that's what they wanted. And finally, Galus Edom comes along, and that's a combination of all of these forces of evil, and that Malach Yaakov saw going up and not coming back down. And we have to tap into finding God in nature, Shava, and also recognizing that our existence is Lamalam in a Teva, Shmona. And we recognize that the Ribbono Shel Olam controls both Teva and Lamalam in a Teva, and we strengthen our commitment to Torah, to strengthening our neshama, protecting our guf, and keeping our seichel intact. And perhaps finally, Galus Edom will finally, please God, come down the ladder. In fact, we end Ma'os Tzur. Ma'os Tzur goes through each Galus. I don't know if you pay attention to it, but it goes through each Galus. Paro Sumadai, Haman was hung on the tree, Yavon, Edom, and it ends with Edom saying there's no end to the bad days. Dechei Admon b'tzal tzama. We ask Hashem to push away Edom. So how do we ensure that Edom will be pushed away? It's by strengthening our commitment to these ideals, strengthening our neshama, and strengthening ultimately our connection to Torah. I want to quote a little bit, I'll see how much I could do, from Rabbi Joseph B. Soloveitchik in the essay Days of Deliverance, okay? In the Sefer Days of Deliverance, which is essays on Purim and Chanukah. Yosef, as we've mentioned numerous times, or as I've mentioned numerous times in different shirim, is the Chanukah Jew. So why? There are many reasons given. One thing, okay, I'm just going to start to quote the Rav, okay? Rabbi Soloveitchik differentiates between Yaakov's exile by Lavan, Yaakov was by Lavan for 20 years, and Yosef's exile in Egypt, which is this week's Sedra. Says Rav Soloveitchik, Yaakov was taken away from his parental home. We're going back to Yaakov. We were in Vayetzi already. Yaakov was taken away from his parental home and went through a long night of darkness, misery, and distress. It wasn't easy by Lavan. His assignment was to live in exile. Lavan was Aramean, wanted to destroy my forefather. It's from Bikurim, Dvarim Chafa, but we say by the Pesach Haggadah. Avram did not live in exile. He tried to visit Egypt for a short while, but he became entangled over the business with Sarah and he was deported. Yitzchak was not allowed to leave. Parachava Bereshis, Hashem told him, Gur ba'aretz hazos, you have to stay in this land. The first Jew, so to speak, to live in exile was Yaakov. Avram was told, go to Eretz Yisrael. Yitzchak was told, don't leave Eretz Yisrael. The first Yid to live in Golos is Yaakov Avinu. He was burdened with the mission of living in exile. Of proving, what did he have to prove? What did Maisa Avosim in the bottom? Why did we need one of the Avos to go into exile? Because he needed to prove something to his children. Oh, that's nice, Joanna. Very nice. Joanna wrote, the only connection I can think of for Rosh Chodesh and seven is the korban for Rosh Chodesh, which are the seven lambs, kvasim. That's very good. That's excellent. That fits in exactly. The korban, the extra musaf, korban for Rosh Chodesh, are the seven lambs, the seven kvasim. So there you go. Rosh Chodesh is connected to seven. A plus. Thank you so much. Sometimes I have to wait years to get an answer to a question. That was much faster. Very, very nice, Joanna. Beautiful. Thank you. Gevaldik. Add it to the shiur notes, everyone. It works perfectly. I'm very happy. You could end shiur now. I'm just joking. But really, that's excellent. So it ties in exactly. So mamish, every one of the mitzvahs that the Yevanim tried to eradicate and the Hellenists tried to eradicate, ties into the time unit of either 7 or 8. Or, like Rachi said, Nida is both. Shabbos is clearly 7. Mila is clearly 8, Rosh Chodesh is 7, and Nida is 7 into the 8th. Excellent. Baruch Hashem, thank you. Way matter of Salvechik. Very, very nice. Excellent. Yaakov was burdened with the mission of living in exile, and that was his dream. He foresaw the exiles going up and coming down, and he himself was going into exile personally. He had to prove to the world that the covenantal community, that's us, covenantal community, covenant, the community of the Bris, is capable of practicing Avram's unique moral code, of being close to the Almighty, of employing a lifestyle of saintliness, not only in the Promised Land, but in exile. Can the Jew, quote, maintain Avram's unique moral code? Can we become close to the Almighty? Can we employ a lifetime of saintliness, Kedusha, not only in the Promised Land, but also in exile, far from the hills and valleys of Hebron and Shechem? And so because Ma'isa Avosim on the Banim, the book of Sefer Bereishis, is a blueprint for future generations, the Hashgacha needed, so to speak, one of the Avos to go into Golas to prove that Yehadus can survive in Golas. Otherwise, how would we know that Yehadus could survive? Otherwise, we would think that the ones who go into Golas and we leave Eretz Yisrael, there's no more Torah, there's no more mitzvos. What does Yaakov say? Im Lavan Garti, I have sojourned with Lavan, very famous. Rashi, Vitaryag Shamarti, I kept the 630 mitzvos. Yaakov stayed with Lavan for 20 years, enough time to settle down. He could have become a citizen of Haran. He could have considered himself a veteran resident of Haran. He should have said, Im Lavan Yashavti, with Lavan I sat. Garti, sojourned. He felt himself to be a stranger in Haran, the way that Joseph, his son, Yosef, this week's Sadra, later felt himself to be a stranger in Egypt. Yaakov did not assimilate, and neither did Yosef. He did not integrate into Lavan's society or community, and neither did Yosef. The Pasuk says about Yosef that when the Egyptians, this week's Sadra, when the Egyptians prepared a meal, they prepared it for Yosef alone and themselves alone, because Yosef did not sit and eat with them. When the brothers come, Perek Megillo, Pasuk Tassayah, he says, "Utavoach tavach v'achein, slaughter meat and prepare ki iti yachua anashim." The brothers are going to eat with me. Slaughter meat, special for me. Yaakov did not integrate. Yosef did not integrate. Yaakov did not consider himself a resident of Haran. Yosef did not consider himself a resident, as a dweller, a permanent resident in Egypt. Yaakov did not accept their morals, their codes of ethics, or their lifestyle. He lived by Lavan for a long time. Yet he preserved his moral religious identity, his commitment to the God of Abraham, his commitment to the life of the way that Abraham lived, his commitment to the promised land. Have a wonderful week. Nice to see you. Happy Chanukah, Kayla. Laila Tov. Be safe. All those commitments and many more were not affected at all in terms of Yaakov's spiritual strength by his sojourn by Lavan. Yaakov was as dedicated at the end of 20 years by Lavan as he was the first night he spent on those cold stones in Beit El, which is where we started Shir, actually, to bring things full circle. He remained loyal to his spiritual heritage and his faith in God. And that's really the tafkid of every Jew and every exile. Parasu Madai Ibavel, Galus HaNeshama. Parasu Madai, Galus HaGuf. Yavan, Galus HaSeichel, Chanukah. And Edom, the eye of the storm, all in one. And we have to remember Yaakov and Yosef. Yosef was always Rosh Shabbos Chanukah. It's not an accident. Yosef reminds us that the Jew can triumph over the impurity of the lands in which he lives. It is possible. Joseph, says the Rav, was burdened with a similar task. He had to prove that Avram's covenant could be practiced outside the promised land. The moral laws of Torah are not contingent upon geography and chronology. It doesn't matter. I mean, it does matter. But whether a Jew is living in Eretz Yisrael or in Chutz Arts, he still has a responsibility to uphold the moral law of Torah, irrespective of geography or chronology. What is the difference between Yaakov and Yosef's assignments? Yaakov proved that Torah is realizable, that's actually the word it says, in poverty and oppression. Yaakov's galus was a galus of oppression. That the immigrant, no matter how hard he is to work for a livelihood, no matter how poor and oppressed, is capable, if he makes up his mind, to be devoted and loyal to the Mesorah, the ancestral tradition. That was Yaakov's galus. He had to work hard. He was almost a slave. Lavan tricked him. Lavan was like the pirates in the Middle Ages in Europe. And Yaakov proved, Im Lavan garti, the tarik shamarti. I did it. And every Jew and every Dor who finds themselves in such a galus can do it also. This is everything that Chanukah represents. It's the triumph of Kedusha over the forces of impurity. Remember, they were in Eretz Yisrael, but we call it galus Yavan. Isn't that interesting? Bavel, Parsu, Madai, Romi, we are kicked out of Eretz Yisrael. But if one doesn't live a Torahic life and is subjected and oppressed and meshubad to the mentality of the Umas HaOlam, they're also in a kind of galus. So what about Yosef? Yosef had to prove something else. Yosef also had to prove that Torah could survive in galus. This week's parsha, Yosef's mission was to demonstrate that enormous success, without you, no one will raise a hand. Unlimited riches, Mishneh LaMelech, golden necklace, Ravida Zav, Tzvanas Paneich, Egyptian name, robes, chariots, admiration. Have you ever seen a man who is so discerning and wise? Prominence. No one gets food without him. Power. Are not in conflict with a Seli covenantal life. Yosef had all those things. And this week's Sedra, which is always read almost every Shabbos Chanukah, we read of enormous success, unlimited riches, admiration, prominence, power. And yet, they're not in conflict with a Seli covenantal life. The immigrant, no matter what his destiny turns out to be, glorious success like Yosef, or miserable under Lavan like Yaakov, can, if he possesses the heroic quality of either Yaakov or Yosef, attend to his commitment. Yaakov manifested this heroic quality in a backwater country of Haran. Yosef demonstrated this heroic action in the most advanced civilization of antiquity, Egypt. It's a longer essay. But Yaakov Avinu, the same Yaakov that was speaking about the shul, really is going mamish full circle. Saw all these galus coming up and going down. And he saw galus Edom going up and not coming down. How can we triumph over galus Edom? By renewing our commitment to strengthening the neshama, the guf and its kedusha, and our seichel. And the only way to do that is through Torah. The only way to strengthen all those three aspects, which will win over galus Edom, is through Torah. What's Hanukkah all about? Finding Hashem in nature. Oil is just a natural thing. So oil burned. Why is it such a miracle? Okay, 8 days, but it burned. It's oil. Oil is nature. It wasn't vinegar. It wasn't Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa. They didn't find Pach Chometz in the Mishkan. They found oil. So oil burns. Why are you celebrating? Sheva, find Hashem in nature. Shabbos is seven. Nida is Zion Nikiyam. And A plus to Joanna. Rosh Chodesh is seven through the Seva Shiva Kavasim, the carbon of Rosh Chodesh. And recognize that our existence is Lamala Minateva, Bris Mila, on the 8th day, Shmona, Shemin, richness, fullness, fatness above Soveya Sheva. And also, like Rachi said, Nida is Sheva Nikiyam, plus it's on the 8th night. And we recognize Ribbono Shel'olam both in nature. And our existence is lamala min ha-teva. Unlike Yaakov and Yosef, this week's seder, we maintain our tenacity of spirit, our strength and our devotion, our emunah and our bitach and our commitment to Torah, even when we're in galus. And by Ezras Hashem, we will finally be redeemed. The third base of Midrash will be built. We'll bring the karbanos of Sheva. The Shekhinah will dwell amongst us. And maybe once again we'll have Shmones, it may be Luim. I wish everybody a gevaldik and uplifting Chanukah Sameach. Please, Hashem. Next week, we are back to Wednesday night, both in person and via Zoom. Thank you so much, everybody. Besuras Tovas and Chanukah Sameach. Kol Tov, Lichtige Chanukah, and again Chodesh, and a wonderful Shabbos.